To the book of Ecclesiastes. If you'll turn there with me, I want to grab a text verse and we'll preach on this thought that we'll find in this verse this morning. Again, it is good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord, and I appreciate you being here today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter in this book, and of course, we don't have time to preach the entire thoughts of this book, not even going to try to touch on the book of Ecclesiastes, but we're going to look at a statement that Solomon made after all that he wrote us through all of his observation between knowledge and wisdom and understanding and folly. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you have your place by now, say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't, you definitely will lose Bible drill if you play, okay? Ecclesiastes, gave you plenty of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at two verses, the last two verses of the entirety of this book. Solomon, he sums up all the things that he had told us and taught us throughout this book. He said, let us hear the conclusion, all right? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the conclusion. Number one, fear God. Number two, and keep his commandments. Look at this statement. For this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring, what is the next word?
Every.
God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I just want to, if I title the message, I want to preach on we need a healthy fear of God. Okay, I want to talk to you and preach to you this morning this subject from the Bible on the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God. Fear God, and only by the fear of God will a man keep his commandments. That's why that's first. It didn't say keep his commandments and fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Understanding one of the reasons that we need to fear God, and we'll talk about more of that this morning, is God is going to bring every work into judgment. Every man's going to stand before God someday and give an account of your life. You're going to give an account of your life in this life, what you did with the gospel, what you did with Christ, and if you're lost, you're going to give an account of your sin, and if you're saved, you're going to give an account of your works, whether they be good or whether they be bad, and how you live this life for Christ. God's going to bring every work into judgment, every secret thing. That's a haunting thought. Secret thing, whether it be good, there are certain things that people have done good and they didn't let nobody know about it. God's going to reward that openly to everybody. Everybody's going to know. God is not just the God who sees the evil. He also sees the good. And so even the secret good things that have been done, God's going to reward that. But also God's going to judge the secret evil things. And so I want to preach to you this morning on the fear of God, having a healthy fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray now that you help me, enable me, embolden me, give me understanding. Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of tongue, heart, and mind to preach your word today. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We want to answer several questions that I could pose to you this morning in this message about the fear of God. Number one, one of the questions we'll answer is, what does it even mean to fear God? A second question that we'll answer is, how do we know if a man fears God? Number three, what are the benefits of walking in the fear of God? Number four, what is the consequences of not fearing God? And then the fifth question I want to answer for us is, why should we fear God? Why should we? And I'll probably start with the last one this morning of why should we fear God? The Bible tells us, if we study the scripture, number one, we are to fear God because he's holy. God is holy. He'll not at all acquit the wicked. God has all power. God has all knowledge. Now, just think about those two statements. God has all power. God should be feared because he has all power and because he has all knowledge. Now, We can talk about the fear of God this morning. One of the definitions talks about having a reverential awe of God, okay? There's a fear in the fact of just reverencing God, but also there, and we understand what reverence means, a deep respect that is tinged with awe. Because of who God is, it puts us in awe. I'm in awe at the power of God. Is there anything too hard for God? No, there's not. I mean, the Lord's the one who asked that question. I am at awe at the fact that God knows everything. It causes me to stand at awe that we serve a God who is omnipresent, which is just a word that means he's everywhere, in every place, all at the same time. Amen. I mean, we serve a God that is all-knowing. He has all knowledge of everything that you could possibly know and understand down to the minutest details. He's the one who made it. I mean, he has perfect understanding of all matters. He knows all things. Listen to me now about every single individual sitting in this church this morning. That'd be an amazing thing if it was just limited to us. But from the time Adam was born to the last man that would be born and die, he knows everything altogether about all of us. Every thought you've ever had. One of the reasons we need to fear God, as we talked about, is going to bring every work into judgment. God said that you and I are going to give an account for every idle word that we spoke. Think of it. I've said so many idle, I don't even remember the idle words that I've said. Just the things, just idle words, just flippantly saying things, just letting stuff come out of your mind before you even think and you didn't even mean it. Just idle words. God has kept track of every bit of that. I want you to think about this. God is to be feared. Now, most of the time in our society today, and even in Christendom, we say, you know, we should stand in reverence for God for who he is. But somehow there's a disconnect that should affect our lives, how we live. That somehow that should not have an effect on my actions. If you truly have a reverential fear that causes you to stand in awe of God, it will change your actions. Amen. It will change your attitude. Amen. It will change your mentality. Amen. Absolutely. I say to you this morning, you could be standing in the parking lot as you go in there and you're fixing to face a judge that can take your driver's license away. And you can stand in the parking lot and say, I tell you what, when I get in that courthouse in front of that judge, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. It's amazing how that changes, isn't it? I'm going to set the record straight in there, buddy. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell that officer I'm going to tell that judge how he wasn't doing his job and he's wrong and all this kind of stuff. And you stand before that judge and there just something happens because, you know, that man has the power in his decision to either show mercy, leniency, or give you the limit of the law of what you deserve. Much less if you're standing before a judge who can sentence you to prison, life in prison. Much less one that can sentence you to death row, or one living in a day and time that can sentence you to immediate death by punishment not to be prolonged, that your life is in his hands. And this morning, God is to be feared, not only in a reverential way, but yet that reverential way of God understanding who he is and his power, the accountability that we're going to give to him, we're going to have to answer for our lives. He's seen all that we've done. He's heard all that we've done. He's watched all that we've done. He hears and he sees everything. He hasn't missed a thing. Think about that. That is the God of the Bible. I'm not trying to make God bigger than he is. I can't even magnify him as much as he needs to be. Okay? And understand this, that there needs to be a healthy fear of God as far as being afraid of God. Somehow we don't want to preach that aspect of God anymore. I mean, how many times have you heard the statement, I'm going to put the fear of God in them? We need the fear of God put in us. There's such a passive Jesus and a passive Christ and a passive God being preached in our day that he's just such a loving God sitting up there in heaven. And when he looks down upon the earth, they're just floating hearts just coming out of his mind. And he never has a bad thought. He doesn't want to punish anybody. He doesn't want to chasten anybody. He does, you know, he'll never judge anybody. He's just sitting up there and he looks down on us and he's just so grateful we look his way every now and then. That is the mentality that this world has of God.
And then they don't even want to think about somehow if God brings any evil into our life, what a horrible God. If God punishes us and God judges us for anything we did, what a horrible, terrible, mean, hard-hearted God. That is a perverted concept. Perverted concept. Some of the reasons why God should be feared is because He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart and of our mind. He's created it all. Every single bit of it that we look at in the world, all creation, all creatures, everything in heaven and earth and in the universe, He created all of it. Now that ought to make us stand in awe. Because somehow, even in our mind, you know what they did in Romans chapter 1? They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. They changed the glory of God into an image made like unto man, or creeping things, four-footed beast and creeping things. They took some kind of creeping creature that God made and they fashioned that and formed that out of gold or silver or out of wood, and they sat it up and said, "This is our God." Boy, they changed the truth of God into a lie, is what the Bible said. That is the mentality of the world today. And so you and I understand that He created it all. It causes me to stand at awe of just if God would have created one human body and that was it, much less to be able to multiply and birth. If just understanding birth of all creation, of birth, a man would have to be so foolish to say that just happens without a wonderful God creating and the care that He gave just in birth, having birth, and if you studied it about all the things that happened in birth, I mean, I don't know about you, it's an amazing thing. Absolutely an amazing thing. And so he's a God that's going to judge the quick and the dead. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. The heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. I mean, you think about the perspective of let's go away from here. Right now, the earth, you know, we seem pretty big. But if you could get up in the clouds, man looks pretty small. And if you can go up into the heavens and go to the nearest star, you can't even see man. How small does man look compared to the stars? Going through the galaxies of all the trillions and innumerable number of stars that God calls them all by name. And then go through outside the second heaven, there's a great deep of a body of water. Science doesn't understand it. They call it a water vapor surrounding the universe. They have no idea. The Bible talked about it long before. It ain't a vapor, friend. It's a deep, deep, deep. Of water that surrounds the second heaven. You pass through that. We have no idea how deep it is. And God said, if it's a great deep, you better believe it's deep. Get on the other side of that and pop into the third heaven. There God is on His throne. An innumerable company of angels in heaven. And a temple in heaven. And His throne. And seraphims. And cherubims. And seeing God on His throne. Let me tell you something, friend. There's only a place beyond that God can go. Because Jesus, when He resurrected, He sent it up far above all heavens. Outside of that, listen to me, friend, the heavens of heavens cannot contain our God this morning.
Amen.
And somehow we look down here and we think, who does God think He is? You better get a real good perspective of yourself. You're not even a speck of dirt. Not even. In comparison to a mighty God. Think about the size of the stars, the size of this planet. I mean, in all of creation, God is to be feared. He has all power. He has all might. He's the almighty God. And you sit here this morning and you, man, thinks God has no business how to tell me how to live my life. And who does He think He is? People tell me, God, why should God punish me? How I live is none of His business. He created you. It's like saying, I moved here to Lexington. Nobody else had any any bearing on me moving here, and nobody's going to tell me how to drive. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to, when I want to, as long as I want to, with who I want to, and it doesn't matter to nobody. Why don't you try that on for size just for a second? You're not going to step into the domain of a principality where there's powers over you and you do what you want to. Can I tell you that all principality and power is subject unto him? He's the head of all of it. Amen. Every bit of it. He should be feared. All things were made by him. He fashioned you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God fashioned you inside your mother's womb. Everything is kept in order by the word of his power. The only thing keeping this dirt ball in its place and everything going in order is the word of God's power. He loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. Sins are a reproach to such a holy God. He will not at all acquit the wicked. We'll stand before him someday to be judged, and he'll bring every work into judgment. Look at Psalms 89 with me. I want to show you a couple verses this morning. When we end up going through the book of Psalms, I'm going to read several to you, so you need to get your turning fingers on here in just a minute. Psalms 89, I want you to look at verse 6. The Bible says, "For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto him?" Verse 7, Psalm 89. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Listen to me real quick this morning. If you own your house, or you're living in your house, you're paying the rent, or it's in your name or under your lease. For just somebody just walking to come in your house and you say, "What are you doing here? I'm here because I want to be." And come and do whatever they want to in your house. You're going to call the police because they have broken the law and they are out of order. You know who owns this earth? God does. You're living on his earth. This planet is not yours, it's his. You're breathing his air. Breathing his air. I love that little joke about that guy that came up to God and said, "I tell you what, God, it's no big deal that you created man. I can do that." Lord said, "Really?" He said, "Oh yeah, I can take a little water and everything, and I can make man just like you did." And God said, "All right, you go ahead, you make man." Man got him a little bit of dirt together and got a little bit of water together, and he got ready to get started. And God said, "Hang on a second." I said, "What?" He said, "There's a little problem here." "So what?" He said, "Go get your own water and dirt." There's none like unto him.
Amen.
There's nobody like unto him. You ought to fear him this morning. He is to be. You will answer to God someday. And not only that, listen to me now. There are consequences for actions in this life.
Amen.
Man does not like to think about God this way, but nevertheless, it is the absolute truth. Some of the things that God visits the iniquity of man on this earth, I'm not saying all of them, but we do know according to the Bible that he has his way in the storm. I'm telling you, some of the storms that have come on planet earth, God sent them. The Lord said, "Is there evil in the city?" And I, the Lord, had not done it. A lot of things that happen on planet earth is God's hand of judgment upon the nations of the earth for how they've lived and disdained God and rejected him and his word.
Amen.
Pestilence. Many times pestilence is the judgment of God. Earthquakes. You can find this in the Bible. Floods and hurricanes, tornadoes and fires and famines and pandemics and sicknesses, disease, and sometimes war. God stirs up nation against nation. For his purpose, war. And this is all the judging hand of God. One of the reasons you ought to fear God as a child of God is the Lord chastens every son whom he receiveth.
Amen. Amen to that. Yeah.
You know, my dad and I, whenever I was growing up, if I was doing right and everything's wonderful and we had a relationship, man, we had a great time and we played golf together, we hunted together, we worked together, and we ate together. Amen. My dad knew every little restaurant known to man within 500 miles, and we ate at every one of them. I mean, he knew him, man. And I mean, everything is one. Man, I loved to be with dad until I did something wrong. And when mama say, your daddy be home in about an hour, I'm like, God, don't ever let him come home. I didn't want to see him. I'm like, no. I mean, dad's coming home, and I mean, I'm in trouble. And whenever dad come home, and all of a sudden, you know, I know some people use a rod and, you know, whatever it is in discipline. And listen, to hear dad take that belt and just start, when he said, come here, son, he unbuckled it. I didn't feel the same way about it. I'm like, dad, let's go play golf. And he took that belt off, and he come over, and he said, bend over. And you know what happened through that discipline? And he disciplined me because I was wrong. It was correcting me. It was righting me in the right way. And you know when dad said, I want you to do that. Yes, sir. You know what happens if you don't? Yes, sir. And the fear of his, I wasn't afraid of my dad until I was in trouble. Then I was afraid of him. We live in a generation. Listen to me now. Somebody, if I could ever get on this thing about in parenting as we teach on Sunday nights, we're living in a generation of moms and dads that are raising their children with no fear of authority, not even fear of their authority, no respect of their own authority. I look at little kids, the worst thing, one of the things I think you can do, especially here, I think this is just good in raising your kids. I cannot take it when I see a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, their dad says something to them and they go, yeah. Do you want that? No. No, no. My dad said, no what? There's no sir. You know what happened whenever he said, no what? Or yet your mama, you just looked at mama and said, no. I mean, before he even knew it was a natural reaction. That belt was coming undone. He couldn't even stop it. He said, what'd you say to your mama? I said, no, ma'am. He said, I thought that's what you said. Puts a respect and a fear. And some of you parents, you're messing up. You have no idea the end result of what you're allowing to go on. Don't let them just tell you no. Because when they get 15, it's going to be no. When they're 17, no. It won't even take that long when they're 10. No. If they say no with an attitude at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you just wait till that gets it breeds. God help them. You better learn to put some fear of authority in them, respect for your word and your authority and the authority of your wife and the authority of the teachers and the authority of Sunday school teachers and the authority of the police. Because I'm going to tell you, that healthy fear for authority will cause them to look at God in the way God should be seen. You break it down in the home, they'll never view God in the right way. You break it down in society, they'll look at God just the same way. We need a healthy fear of God. Healthy fear of God. We understand that God does these things, for the fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5 with me. Let me show you something in Jeremiah chapter 5. As you turn there, I'm going to finish just reading you these couple verses that were there. He said, the heaven is thine and the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand and high as thy right hand. Listen to this. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall be before thy face. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 5 with me. Jeremiah chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Jeremiah 5 in verse 21. He said, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. The Lord asked a question. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? And he says, which have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea, for perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. I mean, you think about the mercy of God with that great, powerful ocean, and God putting the sand on the shores and setting the bounds. The sea cannot pass it unless God removes the barrier. Well, we are to thank God He set boundaries for the ocean. But this people have revolted. They have a revolting and rebellious heart. He says they are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter. All right, listen to me now. The very rain that we had this morning, God sent it. God sent it. Well, how many times, we live in a day where you can hook up water to a spigot and try to, you know, sprinkle your garden and everything else. I mean, men in the past had to depend on praying to the God of heaven for that. We know what it's like, Jen and I and Brother William, Miss Kathy, we were on the mission field. All the water was gone. They were rationing water out. The cisterns were empty. And we began to pray, God, just send some rain. Fill up the cistern. And there was a hurricane named Bertha stirred up out of nowhere. I feel sorry for everybody else. But I believe God formed and stirred up Hurricane Bertha just for some people that was praying. You know what it did? The very edge of it came over the island of Grand Turk. We stood out on a balcony and watched as the cistern, I'm talking about 20 by 20, about 8-9 foot deep, filled up till water was running out of the top of it. We was out there saying, thank God for Bertha. Amen. God sent a hurricane. God controls that, and God at the same time will bless one and judge another with His hand at the same purpose of what's going on. And so you could read the rest of Jeremiah chapter 5 there of the things that God does and His power, and He should be feared. God should be feared. Psalm 33 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. There's so much that I could give you out of that psalm, but I don't have time because I'm heading somewhere else. What are the consequences? What are the consequences? Now, before the consequences, the second question I want to answer is, how do we know if somebody fears God? How do you know if somebody has the fear of God working in their life? Look at Proverbs 8. Go there with me. Read you a couple of Proverbs, and we'll end in the book of Psalms here in a minute. Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 13. Proverbs 8, 13. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you have the fear of God working in your life, it's going to breed a hatred for evil. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What does that encompass? Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, in the froward mouth, do I hate. Look at Proverbs 16:6. Look at this, Proverbs 16:6. Verse 6, the Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Proverbs 16:6. But by the fear of the Lord, I want you to finish this statement with me. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If you fear God, you're going to start distancing yourself from ungodliness. Amen. Ungodly Amen. Things, sinful things. You know what happens when the fear of God starts working in your life? You begin to see your actions and go, God's not pleased with that. And I love the Lord, and He's God, and that's His law and His commands for my life. I need to be obedient, and because I fear God and realize I'm going to answer to God someday, somehow there's this thing in Christendom that it's like anything goes, and God understands. We lean so much on His mercy. We lean so much on His grace. We lean so much on His forgiveness as if there's not another side of God of judgment. You want to know why He should be feared? See, the Bible says don't fear man who can kill the body. The Bible says you better fear God who after He hath killed, can put body and soul in hell.
He'll judge him.
Who killed Korah and Abiram and Dathan? Who killed that crowd?
Yes, sir.
God did. Right. Who opened the earth up? God did. Dropped them in hell, body, soul, in hell. Dropped them right into hell. Opened it up all the way to hell. And God proved who can put body and soul in hell. There's not a man on earth can put your body or soul in hell. Not a man. But God can. Better fear the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, there needs to be a fear of God, because you're going to stand before God. And when you stand there, this thing, he's the one that judges according to the rule of law. And that's why he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me into the lake of fire, prepared for the hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels. God is to be feared. And we're living in such a world of Christendom that I understand the world can have a perverted concept of God. But when those that sit in the pews, I mean, even right now, preacher, you're trying to make me afraid of God. You are to be afraid of God. You should be. We don't want no preacher say you ought to fear God, is because, listen, you know, part of fear is being afraid. Being afraid. Yes, a reverential fear. But, you know, I had a reverential fear for my father. But whenever I did what's wrong, it produced a different fear in me. A distressing emotion that is aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, and punishment. The fear of God. You're going to stand before him someday. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, Job said, Job 28:28, to depart from evil is understanding. See, the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom and understanding. And when you begin to understand what I've been trying my best to explain to you this morning, and your mind can grab a little bit of understanding about it, if you can get any wisdom, any knowledge of God, and any understanding of God and all that's going to happen and who He is and the judgment someday, you know what happens when it gives you some understanding? You go, oh, I better depart from that thing that I'm doing.
Shows you the way.
God said it's wrong. Shows you the way. Yep. It departs from understanding. Amen. Causes you to depart from evil when you understand. Is that not what Proverbs 3:7 says? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The consequences. What are the consequences of not fearing God? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Remember Romans 3:16-18, where it said destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. Why? There is no fear of God before their eyes. We're living in a generation that's very evident that fear God. And it's sad that we live in a day where very few Christians really fear God. The fear of God is the only thing going to make you live right.
Amen.
Love the Lord and keep His commandments. The only way to keep His commandments, by loving Him, a reverential fear, and by a fear of Him, understanding that God has all power, He's going to judge me someday. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I believe the reason why we're not seeing Christians who have sanctified lives in our day, choosing to separate from the world and sin, choosing, listen to me now, this is what's important, choosing to separate things out of your life so that God is pleased with you and you could have more capacity to be used of Him and you not be hindered in people's eyes by what you're doing, where you're going, what you're listening to, how you're dressing, the crowd you hang around with, those things, getting those out of your life because you fear God. You fear the Lord. I hope, Mom and Daddy, there's certain places you don't let your children go. If they just left the house and you told them you're not allowed to go there, and they left the house and you say, where are you going? And they said, I'm going there. And you say, what I tell you? I don't care what you said. I want to go there. There's a lack of fear. You walk out of that door and you go there, you know what's going to happen to you? And probably nothing if you hadn't been disciplining them right, and they're going to get away with it. Certain things that I hope through your life that you told your kids, they were going a certain place, you know, maybe an event for church or somewhere else, and they're dressed a certain way, and you said, we don't wear that to church. Go change. Somehow we think God's not like that. Figure get real quiet. I don't know why when you start talking about something like that. I remember growing up that my sisters tried to wear something to school. My dad said, I don't think so. You know the rules at school. Go change. Go change. You're not wearing that. You used to live in a generation that'd wear something to school, they'd send them home. Now you know what happens when they send them home, the parents. I can't believe the school's got rules like that. I mean, then who do they all high and mighty tell my daughter how to live? Thank God, hey, thank God somebody will stand in the gap in some of that stuff. You want to know why we have all the mess we've got? Because somehow we are supposed to just be passive and allow everything. No kind of judgment, no kind of lines, no kind of rules. We're living in a generation that wants no rules, and they expect God has no rules. And if you do violate the rules, there should be no consequences for violating the rules. I'm going to tell you, friend, when we all stand before God, we're going to get a real good glimpse of who He really is.
Amen.
Lightnings and thunderings proceed out of His throne. John the Beloved fell as a dead man when he got there before the Lord. Remember Moses and them going up on the mount? Moses said, I exceedingly feared and quaked. The trumpet sounding, God descended in a fire and the smoke and the whole mountain quaked. And you know what God said, Moses, you tell that crowd, you set boundaries from around the mountain. You set a boundary around the entire mountain and you tell them people to come forth that you want them to meet God, but you don't let them go any further than you come up on the mountain. I'm going to talk to you and you go down and talk to them. Moses got up on the mountain. God said, get down there now. Why, Lord? You go down there and you stop them lest some of them break through and come up here and I have to slay them. Moses, Lord, ain't none of them coming up here. We've already set some boundaries down there. Haven't you figured out men don't like boundaries?
Amen.
He said, we've already made boundaries down there. God said, yeah, well, they're not going to keep them. They're going to be foolish and they're going to try to come break through and get a glimpse of me and they're going to be dead and you're going to be having some funerals. And you better go down there and tell them, I said, stay back. And then when they heard God speak, and they heard the thunderings. You know what it did? It put the fear of God in them. You know what they said to Moses? They said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. We don't want Him talking to us. Here's what we want you. We want you to go talk to God. Let God talk to you. Then you just come down here and mild it down a little bit and tell us what He said.
That's my God.
You know what? They had a healthy fear of God. Today we feel like we want to touch whatever we want, do whatever we want, go wherever we want, say whatever we want, live however we want. And it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, it's going to matter someday. It's going to matter someday. And we need to get our mind and perspective back to who God is. And God is watching and God is going to require it. And He sees where you're at and the secret things, good and bad. He knows every bit of it. We need a healthy fear of God. You know what I found out? Those Christians who really sell out and care about how they live are those that have an awe and respect for God and His person and for His word, His commandments, and His judgments.
Amen. Amen.
We're living in a day that you want to know why young people aren't separating and sanctifying their lives unto God and cutting junk out and getting rid of stuff and not doing certain things. They're adapting the world because they've lost a perspective of who God is. I believe a healthy fear of God will help breed a sanctified life unto God. That only happens through the fear of the Lord. Only through the fear of God. So we also know that in Psalm 36, don't have time to read it, that he talked about the transgression of the wicked because of their lack of the fear of God. And then in Psalms 50, you know what Psalms 50, you know what he said in Psalms 50? He said, ye that forget God, he talked about turning back to the Lord, lest I tear you in pieces. That's God talking. God said, you that forget me and disdain me, I'm going to give you a chance to get this thing right, lest I tear you in pieces. I mean, that's the God of the Bible. God said that. We don't like to hear that aspect of God. Now, what are the benefits? I certainly do not have time to give you all this, but go to the book of Psalms for the next 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to just read a couple verses to you. There's so many benefits of walking in the fear of God. In Psalm chapter 34, if you'll just look, I want to read some of it to you. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Oh, there's some benefits in fearing God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear ye the Lord, as saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you
the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Look in Psalm 86. Look at Psalm chapter 86. I want you to look with me, if you would, in verse 10. Psalm 86, verse 10. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. I love this statement. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Is there anybody this morning say, God, teach me your way and I'll walk in it? Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, look at verse 10. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east, see that? So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. There is a benefit in fearing God. You want to talk about an abundance of mercy in your life? By the fear of the Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, remembereth that we are dust. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Boy, I love that verse. Look in Psalm 112. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. You see, God said you're a blessed man if you fear the Lord.
Amen.
Here's also a benefit. His seed, talking about his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Look at Psalm 115, verse 11. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Bible over and over, so many verses I can't give you this morning because I'm literally out of time right now. But over and over and over, the Bible talks about the man that fears God will be blessed.
Amen.
And the Bible says the Lord taketh pleasure, Psalm 147, 11. He taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Proverbs 10, 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth your days, yet the wicked days shall, their years shall be shortened. There are benefits, and then there are punishments. I love this verse, and I'll be done here. Malachi 3:16, I'm going to just read it to you. The Bible says, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. You know what happens when you fear God? You'll want to have companions that fear God.
Amen.
He said, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Have you ever heard something? I mean, sometimes you walk about, people are talking about stuff, you hear a little bit of it, and you're not interested, and you just walk on. Have you ever been walking by, and you lend your ear, and you heard something that kind of caught your ear, and you stopped? Now you're hearkening. The Lord heard the conversation, and it was so good to him, he stopped and paid attention to it. The Lord not only heard, but God hearkened. And the Bible said he hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. God had a book written down for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That's amazing to me. I know the Malachi said that God did that. I don't know if he's still doing that. But those that feared God spake often one to another. They thought on his name and talked about him so much that God said, all these that did that, I'm going to write their name down, what they said, and it's going to be a book of remembrance, and someday it's going to be opened back up and it's going to be read about these people fearing God. There's some things that right now today that you'll change that's going on if you walk out of here with some fear of God in your life that you didn't have.
Amen.
It'll change. You'll get rid of some stuff. You'll change some stuff. You'll stop doing some stuff. You'll stop saying some things. There's some things the fear of God will make you to depart from evil.
I'm only going to make the statement because it come to mind. We want preachers, whether you're a pastor, another preacher, evangelist, whoever it is, some of you got on your like list, okay? And some of you have men that you love here to preach. And you know what you expect out of them? You know what you think you said? You know what you say? Man, they're God-fearing men. Boy, I got the power of God on their preaching. Boy, I bet they live holy lives. I bet they live sanctified lives. And you say, boy, I want the touch of God on my life. But you expect to have it without fear and sanctification. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. You know what I want to do? I mean, as a pastor, you want to look at me and have some kind of expectation, at least some boundary of expectation of the fear of God in my life so the Lord blesses the ministry and blesses the preaching. And you know what I do? I look at you, at members of this church, and I have some form of expectation for you to walk in the fear of God, for you to have a sanctified life, for you to love God so that neither one of us hinder what God wants to do in this church. You know what I expect out of the choir and the choir leader, a natural expectation, and those that are on the instruments? We look and I say, God, we want to implore your presence on the choir.
Amen.
But I wonder if God's looking and say, well, they don't fear me, he don't fear me, she don't fear me, whatever, the preacher don't fear me, and there's no sanctification in life, and you want me to bless that? We want the power of God on our singing, let's live in a way that God can bless it. We want the power of God on preaching. Let's live our lives in a way that God can bless it. We want the power of God on our church and on our congregational singing. And we want the power of God on what's going on here. It all is determined by how we corporately look to the Lord.
Amen.
And what we let him do that he deserves to do, he has every business to do in my life and your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know it went a couple minutes long.